Last week, we aired a commentary by Richard Gilliam, who's an inmate at the California Men's Colony in San Luis Obispo. Here's an excerpt of what we broadcast as read by KALW's Chris Hoff.
As of March 1st, I will have 38 days remaining to serve until my parole date, yet I have not signed my parole conditions, nor do I know the parole office I am to report to, and, most importantly, I have no idea where I'll be staying once I re-enter the community.
After that aired, we asked the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitations for a reply. Here's what Public Information Officer Bill Sessa had to say.
Well, in the first place, he has been notified of who his parole agent will be, and he was notified a good 8 days before he wrote that letter. And we had discussed his parole conditions since last October, so there is no mystery there either. The formality of actually signing the conditions usually is done on the day that he reports to his parole agent.
And so how did you find this information out? How do we know that, Richard is not telling the truth?
Well, I did talk to the case manager inside the prison where Mr. Gilliam is being held. I also talked to a regional director for parole. I talked to the parole agent who is going to be expecting him when he's released. And I also talked to headquarters staff. And all of those conversations were independent of one another. So none of the people that I was talking to knew of the other people that I was asking questions of.
Okay, so I'm going to go to Mr. Gilliam's second allegation. It says,
the Department of Corrections Operations Manual, section on release procedures and conditions of parole, articulates procedures regarding imminent paroles. Among those regulations, it says, CDC policy requires referrals to be forwarded to the regional reentry coordinator 210 days prior to the earliest possible release date. My release date has been the same for more than a year, so this notification should already have happened as of October of last year.
Well, I think that, what that gives us is a maximum amount of time that we do these case studies. We have some inmates that have much more severe needs than others. We typically would be producing a plan like that very early on if we had to get someone into a residential treatment program for substance abuse or for mental health treatment. But it is very routine for us to be talking with inmates about their reentry plans about the same time as we've been talking to Mr. Gilliam. There is really nothing extraordinary here. It's a very straightforward case, and everything that he needs to know by the time he goes out the door, he already knows, and he knew it before he wrote the letter to you.
So you're essentially saying that Mr. Gilliam is not being truthful?
Essentially, that is exactly what I'm saying.
Okay, I'm going to go through his third allegation.
After this notification, a parole agent is assigned. He or she is supposed to investigate any proposed residence program to determine if it is suitable for the parolee to live in. The parole agent is also required to investigate any employment, training, or school plans to determine the validity of any job offer, whether it's appropriate, and so on and so forth. If there is not enough information available for the parole agent to make an adequate assessment, he is supposed to contact the inmate to request information about alternative residence or employment plans if the proposed program is unsatisfactory. Since I gave no prospective residence or employment information when asked, the assigned parole agent, by regulation, should have contacted me by now. He or she has not.
That is true, except that the most important part of his comment is he did not offer up either a job referral or an address. It is very common for us to have parolees who are registered as transient if they do not have an address. I think the implication is that we are supposed to find him a job and a place to live. We don't do either one. What we do is verify or validate the information that the parolee gives us so that they can't just fake an address or fake of the potential of a job when they don't have one. But in this case, since he offered up no information, there was nothing to check on.
I've done my part. I've researched transitional housing options and educational opportunities. But without any assistance or recognition from parole representatives, I have no idea if these resources are available. with this deliberate indifference to my and every other parolee's plight, is it any wonder why the recidivism rate among California's parolees is so high?
What he seems to be saying here is he's trying to research these options, but he doesn't have a way to pick up the phone and call and find out if there's space. He seems to be saying, why am I not having some assistance with this?
That is something typically that a parole agent will do when the parolee is assigned to them. And he does have a parole agent that he will be reporting to. And part of that agent's job is to help him through all the things that he's talking about now.
So let's move from the specifics of Gilliam's case and really talk about the larger issue here, which is that California is paroling a large number of people each year, and they go back into the communities. And I guess the essential complaint here is there a lack of resources for successful reentry, and is that why California and the fact that there may not be, is that the reason that California's recidivism rate is so high?
Well, let me take the first part of that question, because recidivism has many different factors to it, and the availability of services might be one factor, but there are many others. But as far as whether or not there are enough services, I can tell you that we're constantly expanding our parole services. We've had a new infusion of funds to make up for some budget cuts of a few years ago. And much of that money is being spent on things like day reporting centers, places where parolees can go to during the day. They're not residential programs, where they can use a computer, where they can get job referrals, where they can hook up with Social Security to get a driver's license, to get referrals for social service agencies where they need some help. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's easy. We're just doing everything we can to accommodate them and give the parolee everything that we can offer to make that transition more smooth.